Thank you for joining us in This Week in Turkey. I am Murat Tursan, and boy, do we have a story for you tonight. Tonight, we have a political crisis of a salacious nature in northern Cyprus, and we will have journalist Esra Aygün to comment. The European Commission releases their latest report on Turkey. 10 foreign embassies call for Osman Kavala's release. President Erdogan's Africa tour and the interest rates are cut again. But now on to our main story tonight. We warn our viewers that tonight's story might be a little PG-13, so if you got kids in the room, this might be a good time to get them out, because Prime Minister of the TRNC, Arslan Saneş, is embroiled in controversy amidst the leak of a video of an explicit nature. The Prime Minister is seen video calling an unnamed female, now known as Pınar Gökmen. Speculations are running wild as Sedat Peker, the infamous crime boss slash whistleblower, is thought to be behind the leak. Let's go to that story now.
On Tuesday evening, an explicit video featuring Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus Prime Minister Arslan Saner was leaked onto social media. In the video, the Prime Minister is seen video calling an unnamed woman while she undresses. The video was leaked through an account called Deli Çavuş, or the Mad Sergeant, a name previously mentioned by the infamous whistleblower mob boss Sedat Peker. Shortly after the leak, National Unity Party, or UVP, confirmed that Saner is no longer in the running for the Prime Minister of candidacy under the party's ticket come next election. This comes at the heels of the resignation of the three-party right-wing coalition of UBP, Democratic Party, and the Rebirth Party on October 13th. Sources close to the Prime Minister deny the allegations surrounding the resignation, stating that Saner's insistence on his candidacy would injure the party and create irreversible damage, adding that UBP staff are making great efforts to prevent the video scandal from turning into a political crisis. However, speculations are raging over the timing of the videos and the resignations. As alleged by Sedat Peker, the whistleblower, the leaked videos were recorded by Halil Falyalı, a North Cypriot businessman and alleged drug kingpin. Falyalı alleged to have been involved in the drug trade, along with Mehmet Ağar, a former minister of interior who served time for drug ties, and Ekrem Yıldırım, the son of a former Turkish prime minister. Last week, Falyalı surrendered to the authorities after a warrant was issued for his arrest after being fingered by Peker. On Monday, Emre Olur, Sedat Peker's spokesperson, announced on his Twitter that Peker was now in possession of Falyalı's recordings, claiming that they have an entire archive. As of 7 p.m. last night, the Mad Sergeant has released another explicit video of the same nature. Though unclear at this time, the person seen in the video appears to be the Democratic Party assistant chair, Tosun Tunalı, one of the three parties in Saner's failed coalition.
Joining me now to comment, journalist and activist Esra Aygün. Ms. Aygün, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Ms. Aygün, I think you are the perfect authority on the subject of politics of Cyprus, so let's get started. Can you first give us a little background story to what's been going on in TRNC politics right now?
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show, on your program. What is going on? This is what we are also asking. All of a sudden, the Turkish Cypriots have been shaken by these images of the prime minister, compromising images of the prime minister with a lady. Engaging in sexual activities. And of course, this is his private life. Nobody should be interested in what he does, you know, outside politics and in the privacy of his own home. However, the big question is, why was the prime minister recorded like this, and who recorded him, and what was the intention, and why is this being leaked right now? These are the big questions that we should be answering. There are a few speculations, all related with mafia bosses. One of them being a Turkish Cypriot mafia boss, and another being a Turkish mafia boss, and it looks like it was the mafia both recording him and also releasing his images. Now, what we don't know is what was going on behind closed doors. What was the negotiation? What was the disagreement that led to the leak?
I see. And can I ask you about the timing of this leak? Now, it seems kind of serendipitous, as the prime minister was weeks away from political congress and got hit with this smear job right on his way out the door. What do you make of this timing? Do you think that has any political implications or importance at all?
Well, in his own statements, the prime minister tried to make it seem like this is all about the Congress and that he was hit by his competitors. However, I don't think there is anyone in the media or among the opinion leaders who believe that this was indeed the job of other, candidates or his competitors. Because right before the images became public, the Turkish Cypriot mafia boss in Cyprus, in the northern part of Cyprus, was arrested. And there is a speculation that he was actually negotiating his release. He wanted to be tried, but to be freed pending the outcome of the trial. However, he is the decision was to keep him under lock. One speculation is that he got upset that he was not released, and he did this as a revenge. However, what we heard from Sedat Peker, the Turkish mafia boss, is that Sedat Peker said that actually the Turkish Cypriot media boss recorded these images of not only the prime minister, but many other Turkish Cypriot politicians to keep them as, negotiation, bargaining chips in the future to carry on his illegal activities in the northern part of Cyprus. But I got a hold of these images. And because the Turkish Cypriot government is cooperating with the officials in Turkey to lead the smear campaign against me, said Sedat Peker, I decided to show them, who is stronger. We really don't know which one of these stories is the reality, but all we know is that it is definitely mafia related, whether it is mafia or in Turkey.
All right, we lost you for a second there, but can you hear me now?
Yes.
And perfectly. And Ms. Eigen, lastly, now this story has been making headlines for about a week now. And as you alluded to, the general consensus appears to be that North Cyprus, theoretically an independent state, has become Turkey's underworld's backyard, playing host to everything from government and mob connections to illegal trade. Is there any truth to this? And what's your assessment on how we got to this point?
Actually, what we are witnessing right now is the perfect demonstration of the fact that the northern part of Cyprus is the backyard of Turkey. Of course, what would you expect to see in a piece of land that is completely outside the international law, completely outside international recognition, international organizations, and where property is disputed, where the land and sea is disputed? Of course, it is an area where all sorts of illegal activities are taking place. And of course, illegal activities coming from Turkey too. When the casinos closed down in Turkey in the 1990s, they were transferred to the northern part of Cyprus. So it is filled with casinos. It is filled with nightclubs where there is very obvious and open sex trafficking, but this is denied by the state itself. Of course, when you have gambling and sex trafficking in an area, of course, you are going to have the mafia there and money laundering. And actually, what these events this week showed us, because as we spoke before we went on air, another Turkish Cypriot politician's images, recordings were released yesterday, under similar circumstances. So what we are seeing is actually the demonstration or the proof that this mafia that is both in the northern part of Cyprus and Turkey is closely related with our politicians. We don't know their deeds. We don't know their agreements. We don't know what relations and connections they had up to now. But all we can say is that now they're having a disagreement. One side is very upset and is taking revenge. And Sedat Peker, in his among his latest tweets, said that I have the images of many other Turkish Cypriot politicians, and I am going to release them one by one unless they resign. And we haven't seen any resignations yet. So this means we are going to see other things, unfortunately.
Well, you heard here, folks. The story is just developing, and this appears to be only the beginning. Esra Aygün, thank you for your analysis, and thank you for taking the time to join us this week.
Thank you.
In other news, the European Commission Turkey report is in, and it's anything but surprising. The report finds a continued backsliding of democracy and rule of law in Turkey, as well as deteriorating independence of the judiciary. The report once again calls for the release of political prisoner Osman Kavala and stresses that EU and Turkey's foreign policy, particularly in the Caucasus and Libya, are diametrically opposed. Let's go to that story now.
The European Union 2021 Turkey report stressed items such as the lack of democracy and the functioning of institutions in the country, the situation regarding the independence of the judiciary, and concerns about human rights. The report also emphasized Turkey's foreign policy moves were in conflict with the priorities of the European Union. The report outlined serious concerns about the deterioration of the rule of law, fundamental rights, and judicial independence in Turkey that have not been convincingly addressed by the country. The report addressed serious deficiencies in the functioning of democratic institutions in Turkey and that the democratic backsliding in the country continues. In the report, it was also criticized that the structural deficiencies of the presidential government system continue. The parliament continues to lack the necessary tools to control the government, and all powers are centralized in the presidency without providing a solid and effective separation of powers between legislative, executive, and judicial institutions in the constitutional sense. As for Turkey's ability to assume the obligation of membership, the report found the alignment with the EU acquiesce was very limited. Regarding foreign policy, the report stated that Turkey's foreign policy is becoming increasingly ambitious, and that Turkish foreign policy, especially military activities in the Caucasus, Syria, and Iraq, contradicts the EU's priorities within the framework of the common foreign and security policy. It was also emphasized that Turkey's Libya policy is diametrically opposed to the priorities of the EU. Despite all of its shortcomings, it was stated that Turkey is a very important partner for the EU in areas of common interest, such as migration, counterterrorism, economy, trade, energy, and transportation.
In addition to the EU report, the Erdogan government is getting the squeeze from all sides this week as ambassadors of 10 countries and Turkey have called for the release of Osman Kavala. The United States, Germany, Denmark, Finland, France, Netherlands, Sweden, Canada, Norway, and New Zealand have all called for the immediate release of Osman Kavala, but in turn were summoned by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for a talking to, no doubt. The usual suspects from AKP were quick to call foul on the nations as the Ministry of Interior Süleyman Soylu responded to the statement, saying that the statement in and of itself was actually casting a shadow on the rule of law. Let's watch.
The ambassadors of 10 countries calling for Osman Kavala's release were summoned to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The embassies of the United States, Germany, Denmark, Finland, France, Netherlands, Sweden, Canada, Norway, and New Zealand have called for the release of businessman Osman Kavala, who has been detained for 4 years. In the statement, the embassy stressed that the continual delay of the case through the consolidation of different files and creation of new cases after the acquittal overshadows the respect for democracy, the rule of law, and the principles of transparency in the Turkish judicial system, and called for the immediate release of Kavala. The U.S. mission in Turkey shared the following statement. Today marks 4 years since the ongoing detention of Osman Kavala began. The continuing delays in his trial, including merging different cases and creating new ones after a previous acquittal, casts a shadow over respect for the democracy, the rule of law, and transparency in the Turkish judiciary system. Together, the embassies of Canada, France, Finland, Denmark, Germany, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, and the United States of America believe a just and speedy resolution to his case must be in line with Turkey's international obligations and domestic laws. Noting the rulings of the European Court of Human Rights on the matter, we call for Turkey to secure his urgent release. After the release of the joint statement, ambassadors of the 10 countries were summoned to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Interior Minister Süleyman Soylu, Justice Minister Abdulhamid Gül, and ruling party AKP spokesperson Ömer Çelik responded to the statement. Soylu shared on Twitter, "The Republic of Turkey is a democratic nation of laws. It is unacceptable for ambassadors to make recommendations and suggestions to the judiciary in an ongoing case. Your advice and suggestions cast a shadow over your understanding of law and democracy."
In other news, it appears that President Erdogan is looking for new friends elsewhere after the deteriorating relations with EU and the Biden administration. President Erdogan just concluded a tour of Africa, where he visited Nigeria, Togo, and Angola. President Erdogan discussed a myriad of subjects with heads of state, everything from intelligence sharing to economic cooperation. Little bit of good news this time, as the heads of state of the African nations appear to be receptive to the proposals.
President Recep Tayyip Erdogan embarked on a four-day tour of three African countries, including Angola, Togo, and Nigeria. The tour is considered significant for new cooperation opportunities in Africa. Erdogan expressed his happiness to visit Nigeria once again after 5 years. Erdogan said his country continues to share necessary information on the terror group Fado's illegal activities in Nigeria. He also conveyed condolences to the loved ones of at least 43 people who lost their lives in a terrorist attack in Nigeria's Sokoto state on Monday. Next year, Turkey and Nigeria will celebrate the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations, Erdogan said, reminding that Nigeria hosts one of the oldest Turkish missions on the African continent. With the latest visit, Erdogan said Turkey is accelerating its relations with Africa on the basis of strategic partnership. Before Nigeria, he visited Angola and Togo as a part of the four-day diplomatic tour to Africa. Noting that the number of Turkish embassies in Africa has reached 43, Erdogan reminded that Turkey is hosting a Turkey-Africa Third Economy and Business Summit on Thursday and a Turkey-Africa Third Partnership Summit on December 17th in Istanbul. President Erdogan returned home on Wednesday evening from the four-day tour and was welcomed by Istanbul Governor Ali Yerlikaya and other parties.
In the economy, the central bank cuts the interest rate yet again. We hate to brag, ladies and gentlemen, but last week my guest was the former VP of the central bank, Dr. Ibrahim Touran. And on this show, he did call that the central bank would cut the interest rate at least 2 points this week. And yesterday, the good doctor was proven correct. If you've been noticing that the lira has been free fall as of late, you might have your culprit. As of right now, the lira is trading roughly 9.5 to 1 against the dollar because, by God, come hell or high water, President Erdogan will see interest rates cut, and he is willing to get rid of anyone standing in his way.
AKP Chairman and President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is a well-known proponent of low interest rates. President Erdogan is often quoted as saying high interest rates are the cause, high inflation is the result. Despite the president's affinity for low interest rates, after its meeting on August 12, 2021, the Central Bank Monetary Policy Committee kept the policy rate steady at 19%, but later reduced it to 18% after the September 23rd meeting. On August 4th of 2021, Erdogan said in a television program, "From now on, it is not possible for inflation to go higher. We are starting to reduce the interest rates. There will no longer be high interest rates." Shortly after the rate cut announcement, the lira began to free fall once again, prompting a meeting between Erdogan and the central bank chairman, Shahap Kavcıoğlu, on October 13th, resulting in the dismissal of central bank vice president Semih Tümen and Orhanname Küçük and monetary policy committee member Abdul Yavaş. The men were then replaced with Taha Çakmak and Yusuf Tuna as a member of the Monetary Policy Committee. The Central Bank's Monetary Policy Committee met again yesterday under the chairmanship of Shahap Kavcıoğlu, Taha Çakmak, Mustafa Duman, Elif Haykır Habikoğlu, Emre Şener, and Yusuf Tuna. Consequently, the board voted to cut the one-week repo rates from 18% to 16%, again ushering a significant price cut in interest rates.
That's it for us in This Week in Turkey. I have been Murat Tursan, and thank you for joining us.
Türkiye'nin sivil, bağımsız, özgür ve çoğulcu bir medya ortamına ihtiyacı var. Medyascope, 20 Ağustos 2015'te bu ihtiyacı karşılamak üzere yola çıktı. Ama yolumuz uzun. Bu yolculukta bize Patreon veya YouTube'un katıl butonu üzerinden katkıda bulunabilirsiniz. Destek verin, sizinle güçlenelim.